कर्ताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. One verse 18, chapter 11, verse 18. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamasya vishwasya param nidhanam. Tvamasya vishwasya param nidhanam. Tvamavyaya shashwata dharma gopta. Tvamavyaya shashwata dharma gopta. Sanatanas tvam purusho mato me. Sanatanas tvam purusho mato me. After going through all of these many verses, the last 10 verses or so, now Arjuna recognizes Krishna, or the whole Krishna's whole Vishwarupa, his whole Swarupa, the whole Ishwara's form. He recognizes Krishna as Ishwara. So he says, and how Shankara says here is he actually infers, because he sees, he knows, he's known Lord Krishna as his friend, right? As his good friend, and has also had so much respect for him. And now has taken him as his teacher now. But now he sees, because Krishna is showing him the whole Vishwa Swarupa, the whole Virat, the whole form, the whole body, his whole body. He then realizes that you, Krishna, you yourself, you really are Parameshwara. You really are the Lord. And so he sees that. But the thing is that he's seeing Krishna as you are Ishwara. Not that I am Ishwara. But he's appreciating all of the teaching, really, but still in the third person. He's, in one sense, he's realizing you are Ishwara because of the teaching, but he's also seeing it. He's seeing this whole Vishwasarupa, you know, the whole form of Ishwara in Krishna. So then he has to say, I understand that you, all of this whole creation, you are the Nidanam, you're the very cause, you're the very basis of this whole creation. I see that clearly, I understand that clearly. So this is what he says here. He says, Tvam Aksharam, Tvam means you. You are Aksharam. Aksharam means that which never diminishes. The you that you are, you will always be. That which you're... yourself never goes through any type of change or modification. It doesn't diminish or change in any way. You are Aksharam. You are Paramam. Paramam, if I say, because what he's getting to is the Paramam Brahma, the Param Brahma. You are Paramam. When they say Paramam, it means Desha Kalavastu Aparicheda. It means your being. You aren't limited by time or space or by any type of object. When we were doing the contemplation, you could see your own presence is so quiet and still and unencumbered, as all of these thoughts and forms, namarupa, names and forms on all different levels, and on emotions and feelings and perceptions, you know, and sensations, they're all rising and setting in you that remain absolutely unencumbered by them. So desha aparicheda, you're not your being, the conscious being that you are. It isn't encumbered by space, or by kala, by time, or by any type of objectification. You're not changed by it or encumbered by it, but at the same time, all of them are in you, they're not away from you. So parama means limitless on every regard, limitless in your own being, because this is coming from you, sustained by you, and setting into you without you changing, and limitless in terms, and he'll go on more about this, limitless in terms of the very Virat, the very Ishwara form of Ishwara that he's experiencing. So he says, you are Paramam, you are limitless, and the one who is Veditavyam, the one who is to be known, and Shankara says, Veditavyam means Jnatavyam, the one who is to be known, by whom? Mumukshubihi, by the Mumukshus, by those who are seeking liberation. So you are the one, you are actually the Aksharam Brahma, that limitless one who is desired, who the Mumukshus are seeking to know. So Tvam Aksharam Paramam Veditavyam. Then he says, Tvam, you, Asya Vishwasya, of this Vishwa, of this whole universe. And when we say Vishwa in the Vedanta, we don't mean just the physical universe that we experience with our sense organs. In the Vedanta, in India really, in the Puranas and all of the literature, the Vishwa, the universe, is everything that exists within duality. Everything that exists within time and space on every level, subtle and gross. So Hiranyagarbha, the whole subtle creation is Vishwa. The physical creation is Vishwa. Your mind and moods and emotions are part of Vishwa. The Ahankara is part of Vishwa. It means the entire creation, everything that exists within time and space. So of this entire creation, Param Nidhanam, you are the ultimate cause. Param means the supreme. You are the supreme, the ultimate cause. Means there's no cause behind you. There's no cause of you. You are the Param Nidhanam. Nidhanam means the one who, in whom everything is, the very basis of everything, but as the very basis, the cause of it. You know, like, for instance, myself as Sat, as consciousness, or now we're talking, Ishwara is talking, Arjuna is talking in third person. He sees Ishwara as the very being, the Sat, the being in whom everything is. Everything enjoys that being. So that being is the material cause, the upadana karanam, the very material cause of all beings. Because the being that all beings enjoy is the limitless being, which is Brahman. Right? So, and the consciousness which all beings enjoy, that consciousness is the being which you are. So the sat chit. So he says, for this whole universe, of this entire universe, I see you as the ultimate, the Param Nidhanam. You are the Param, literally says, Tvam Param Nidhanam. You are the infinite, limitless, ultimate cause of this whole universe. And then he says, Tvam Avyaya. Avyaya Navyeti. Avyaya means that you have no limbs, you're not subject to any type of change, you're free from change, and you are Shashvata Dharmagupta, means, and you are the protector of the, Shashvata means eternal, of the eternal Dharma. And how Shankara talks about this, and Swamiji also in his Bhasha, the Dharma, in terms of this whole Vishwa, in terms of the whole creation, is what holds the creation together as the creation. Like, for instance, the space, the creation projects as space, air, fire, water, earth, with sun and moon and wind. There's certain laws, there's a structure that holds this creation together as the creation. And so this creation from beginningless time, means beginningless, projects, so is sustained and resolves. And then that creation, the Maya, again projects, held together by exactly the same laws. And so it's not just some chaos, you know. It's not chaos. It's an actual creation that is projecting, that is held together by an infinite array of laws, which he calls the Shashvata Dharma, the eternal Dharma. Dharma is all of the laws, the rita, all of the laws that hold the whole creation together. Like what makes the sun rise and what makes the sun rise, you know? What is gravity? All of the laws that, what are all of the laws that we go on studying and uncovering? They're infinite. The infinite laws that hold the creation together as the creation and keep the creation as the creation. So you're the Gopta. Gopta means you're the one who protects all of that. You know, because you're the, what we say, you're the, you know, just a little aside, we say you're not only the Upadana Karana, you're not only the self, the constant self from which all of this comes. All of this also comes from you, right? And so since it comes from you, it is you, that means the whole Maya Upadi and all of the laws that are involved in that Maya are also you. So you as the conscious being are the one from whom all of this comes. Just interesting, you know, the Maya, that Maya Shakti has no being or no abode, or no, what we say, abode, no sthanam, no place of existence apart from the conscious being, right? So Maya belongs to me. It doesn't belong to anybody else. But the funny thing is when we try to use any type of words, it belongs to me because there's no place else to put it because there's nothing else but me. But even though it's my Shakti, you could say the Maya, which we define as yama iti maya, that which is not is maya. It means when we say from its own standpoint, if we go into really looking into it, trying to find it, you can't find anything of substance here apart from my own being. So it has no being of its own. And yet this maya shakti is my maya shakti. Right? It's the maya shakti of consciousness itself. But it itself has no power or no being apart from me. And so what makes Maya so magical is that as incredible and powerful as it is, it in no way touches or changes or alters its own being, the being from which it comes. And I am that changeless being. So now, Arjuna is not in a place at this time to say, I am that changeless being. He is recognizing Krishna as the changeless being, because Krishna is remaining there showing Arjuna this whole form, and Krishna still is. And so he's recognizing Krishna as the one from whom this whole, who is the one that is the self of this whole projection, and so therefore the one from whom it comes, the one who it is actually. And so he says, you are the Gopta, you are the one who holds and protects this entire infinite creation and all of the laws that hold it together. And he said, Sanatanah Tvam Purushah. You are that Purusha. Purusha means person, you know. But the Purusha, if you break down the etymology, it's the one who's sleeping in the seven-gated city. The one who sleeps or is lying down, but not sleeping. Lying down means actionless. The actionless self in the seven-gated city of this body, you know, your eyes and your nose and your mouth and your excretory system. So this whole person, the one, the Purusha, is the one who silently abides in the seven-gated city. And so that's one way of breaking it down. And that one is Sanatana, is timeless, is endless, is eternal. So I see you, he says, I see you as the Purusha. And Purusha also is a Vedic term. The Brahman is, there's, like in Purusha Suktam, there's beautiful, like Rudram, it's called Purusha Suktam, a song to Bhagavan, the Purusha, the one who abides in this, and whose form is this infinite universe. And so the Purusha Suktam is kind of being evoked by some of these verses. The one who has many hands and many mouths and many arms and many thighs and many stomachs and whose eyes are on fire. All of these type of images are in the Purusha Sutta. So Purusha means the person. So Arjuna is recognizing that this is a person, that this is Krishna, that this is Ishwar. It's not just a creation, you know, like a scientific physical creation that is basically inert and you're a conscious being walking around through it. He's recognizing that no, that this is Ishwara, and that Krishna himself, the Krishna that he knows, you know, is actually, in the depth of his being, is actually Bhagavan is Ishwara, because Krishna is showing him this Vishwasarupa. So now he's recognizing that now Krishna, you said, was appreciating Krishna as the Lord. Now he's recognizing that Krishna is, in fact, Ishwara, that this whole entire universe is the Lord, is a Purusha, is an infinite being. Then he says, Matahame, he says, when he, this is kind of a giveaway for him in terms of his problem here. He says, you know, this is my conviction, this is my understanding. Because I see this is, I'm appreciating this. Like telling Krishna, all that you've said, you're saying, I appreciate this, and now you've shown me your Swarupa. I know beyond any doubt now that you are Ishwara, that you are Bhagavan. Yeah. So he says he sees it, that it can't be in any other way. It's just that he's still keeping himself outside. Swamiji uses the example for this, is if, say, as this teaching is going on, say, a wave is teaching, the guru wave is teaching the sisha wave, that you are in fact the ocean. Right? So say the guru wave gives the sisha wave, the student wave, you know, a vision of the whole ocean. Right? And then the student wave at this point says, oh, look at this whole ocean which is Ishwara. I'm seeing this ocean which is Ishwara with so many waves, you know, and it's so vast. Oh my gosh, it's infinite in size. I can't even know what's right or left or east or west, you know. But he's seeing it not as I am the ocean, but look at this incredible ocean. Right, so that's where Arjuna is now. Look at this incredible, what a wonder. And so he starts talking like that. He's also starting to get a little bit afraid. So let's go on, and he says, Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam, ananta bahum shashi surya netram, ananta bahum shashi surya netram, Pashami Twam Deep the Hutasha Vakram. Pashami Twam Deep the Hutasha Vakram. Swatejasa Vishwamidam Tapantam. Swatejasa Vishwamidam Tapantam. Anadi Madhya Antam. Anadi Madhya Antam. Ananta Viryam. Ananta Bahum. Shashi Surya Netram. Pashami Twam Deepta Hutasha Vaktram. Swatejasa Vishwam Idam Tapantam. He says, continuing, he says, Pashami Twam, I see you, Pashami Twam, I see you as what? Anadi Madhya Anantam. I see you without beginning. You have no beginning. You have no middle, and you have no end. Because I can't place you. I can't place myself in any place. Like I can't put myself in the middle, and I can't find the beginning where you begin, and I can't find the end. So there is no beginning or middle or end for you. And Ananta Viryam, and your Shakti, I see you as one whose Shakti, whose power, whose capacity is ananta, it's limitless, because there's no end to you. And so all of the energy, all of the activity, everything that's happening is your Shakti alone. So the Maya Shakti that I see, that is pervading this entire creation, is something that's ananta. And I see you as Ananta Bahu. I see you as having limitless arms. Bahu are the arms. And he says, you have limitless arms, and you're Shashi Surya Netram, and you have eyes that are the moon and the sun. The moon and the sun are your eyes. But Swamiji will say, you know, you have eyes which are the moons and the suns, because there's not just one moon and one sun. All of the moons and all of the suns are your eyes. And then he says, I see you as Deepta Hutasha Vaktram, I see your mouth as flaming, flaming Hutasha. Hutasha is a name for fire. You're flaming fire. You're brilliant, burning, shining fire. Hutasha means the one who eats all of the oblations. Huta are all of the offerings, all of the things that are offered into the fire. So he's saying, I'm seeing you as one whose mouths are receiving, like the fire in the ritual, are receiving, continually receiving all of these oblations are being offered into it. And your mouth is like the fire that is receiving it, it's swallowing all that is being offered. And then he says, Svatejasa Vishwam Idem Tapantam, Tapantam. He says, Vishwam Idem, this entire universe is tapas, means tapantam, it is shining with vitality and energy by means of your own tejas, by means of your own being, by your own light, by your own energy. It is your energy that is filling this, your rajas really, that is filling this entire creation, and the tejas of your being, consciousness, that is pervading the entire creation. You are giving the set, the being and the consciousness and the vitality of the rajas to this entire creation. Then he says, goes on, Dhyava prithivyor idam antaram hi, Dhyava prithivyor idam antaram hi, Vyaptan tvayaikena dishascha sarvaha, Vyaptan tvayaikena dishascha sarvaha, Drishtadbhutam rupam idam tavogram, Drishtvad bhutam rupam idam tavogram, Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatman, Lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatman. He says, Dhyava is the heaven, Prithivya is the earth. So he says, Dhyava prithivyoho idam antaram. Between the heaven and the earth, there is this intermediary space. Like the heavens are up there, where you can't even see them, but they're so high, right? The heavens are up there, and then the earth is here, and then there's all this called antariksham, the intermediary space. So he says, all of this, from the heaven to the earth and everything in between, vyaptam, is pervaded by you. Vyaptam means it's pervaded. Tuya ekena, by you who are one alone. Means this entire universe, from the heaven to the suvaha, the suloka, to the bhuvaha, suvaha, that's the three planes of existence, all of them, all the different planes of existence from the heaven to the earth are pervaded, vyaptam, by you alone, tvaya, by you, ekena, by only you, by you alone. So it means this whole infinite creation, which is pervaded by you, is only your being. Is you are the self of this whole thing. And he says, and dishah sarvaha, the heavens, you know, from the heavens to the earth and all the quarters. Dish, the dik means a quarter. So sarvaha dishah means all of the quarters. So if I go north, south, east, west, and then those quarters, and then quarter those, and quarter those, and quarter those. All of those, up, down, and all around, this entire creation is vyaptam, is pervaded by you alone. Then he says, drishtva adbhutam rupamidam teva ugram. He says, having seen this adbhutam rupam, this form, which is adbhutam. Adbhutam means, like you can say, like wondrous. It's like ascharya. Adbhutam means it's something wondrous. There's not anything to compare it to. It's something that is overwhelming and wondrous. So he says, this form, this entire form that I'm seeing, is such an incredible wonder. But then he says, Rupam idam tava, this form of yours such an incredible wonder. And also ugram, it's very frightening. It's wondrous, but it's ugram, it's frightening. It's terrifying, he says. Then he says, this form of yours, which is such a wonder, and yet ugram, so terrifying, he says, is so terrifying that lokatrayam pravyatitam, all the three worlds are shaking, are trembling. That all of the worlds are trembling by my seeing this. What he's saying is that I'm trembling so much that everything is trembling, right? I'm trembling so much, so filled with fright, really, that all the three worlds are trembling. And then he addresses Krishna as Mahatman, the one whose self is Mahat, is great, means the one whose self contains all of this. You are Mahatma, means the Atma, your self is limitless. Yourself is the one who contains all of this. Mahatman can also mean your mind, the whole Hiranyagarbha, your whole being, right, is something that accommodates this entire creation. And why I'm saying that, Swamiji in his commentary talks of this, where he says, in his commentary and in the Bhasha here, it's, you know, the one whose self is limitless, because all of this is in you. But Swamiji says also, when you say Mahatman, you whose mind is infinite in its accommodation. This has been like a meditation for me, because you and Swamiji's been a role model for it, where his heart is so big, and this is how he's talking about Krishna here, his heart is so big that it accommodates the universe. That there's nothing that is rejected or pushed away. And Swamiji once said that to be a jnani, to really, the heart of a jnani, of a mahatma, if somebody has this knowledge, has to be as big as Ishwara's heart. Yeah. Because actually the whole creation is you. There's nothing that's away from you. You know, and that doesn't mean that you don't try to improve things or make things better or bring about resolution, but that's all of problems, but that's all objective. You know, that doesn't show any lack of accommodation. That's helpfulness. That's simply helpfulness. And so here when he says the Mahatman, this whole being, you accommodate this whole creation as your own being. And so then the drishti means the vision within that is one of Maitri. Maitri means, you know, that friendship or that helpfulness or coming to the aid rather than reacting against. Sometimes Swamiji said, you know, if your body is hurt, so you get a cut or something, then the rest of your body comes to its aid. The whole body comes to the aid to try to heal from within. From within itself, it comes to the aid to try to heal it. And you from outside come to the aid to try to heal it, to try to help. Because this is you, right? This is you. This whole thing is you. Even when your mind is upset or hurt, you do what you can to come to its aid, to try to help. You know, as it spirals down, you're trying to spirals down into whatever form, you bring all your knowledge, whatever that may be, or whatever devices that you have to try to help it, to try to save it in whatever way that you can. Sometimes the way that you may try to save it, you know, is not very helpful, but your intent is to help. It's better to use this body because we know more about it. You can understand how you come, and your body comes to its own aid, and you come to its aid too, because this is you. But what about when you recognize that this is you, and this is you, and this is you, and this is you, and these intense situations that the creation is very capable of having are also you, and you are right in the middle of them. That's what Arjuna has to come to that position, because right now he's getting more and more terrified because he's looking at, you know, not that this is me, But what am I going to do with this? So here he says, so you are Mahatma, the one who accommodates, and the one who is the self of the entire creation. When you say the self of the entire creation, it's like, for us, the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, stops here. Right? That's for a jiva, for an individual. The subtle body that's indwelling this physical body stops here. For Ishwara, there's no limited subtle body. The entire creation has that abhimana, has that I-ness, the entire creation. Because the sattva, of the sattva, rajas, and tamas, the sattva runs through the entire maya projection. Right? So the entire creation, just like my mind, if I have a thought in my mind, the mind is sattva, so that whatever the content of that thought is, it is known because of the sattva. Because of the rajas, the mind can be very active and activity can change and can be going on within the mind. That's the rajas. The tamas is what's responsible for having, you know, form, so that you can identify form. So the sattva, rajas, and tamas, in reference to your mind, you are the Ishwara of that thought, right? Because you, the conscious being, equally pervade the entire thought. The entire thought is known because there's sattva, and then there's rajas running through it, and tamas running through it, but the whole material is sattva, right? So that's different than, say, you imagine a meadow, and within the meadow, then there's little creatures in the meadow. Those creatures are bound by the tamas of the form, right? They're bound by the form. But in terms of the mind, you're not bound by any form. You're the self of all of the forms. And so for Ishwara, there is no sukshma sharira. There's no nama rupa, name and form, like body, physical body, within the creation, which through which he's experiencing the creation. That's the jiva, right? But rather the entire infinite creation is his body, is his form. So the creation, as long as it's there, as long as the creation is manifest, it is Ishwara, right? When the creation is in an unmanifest condition, then Ishwara still is, because Ishwara is Brahman. But when the creation is manifest, then that whole creation is me. Just like when your mind is manifest, that mind is you. It comes from you, sustained by you, resolves into you. Like that, the entire creation is my form, comes from me, sustained by me, and resolves into me. And so that Mahatman is just a recognition of this being a conscious being, that Ishwara is a Purusha. So now he says, verse 21, Amihitwa surasanga vishanti, Amihitwa surasanga vishanti, Kechit bitaf pranjala yogrananti, Kechit bitaf pranjala yogrananti, Swastityuktva maharishi siddhasangaha, Swastityuktva maharishi siddhasangaha, Stuvanti tvam stutibhiv pushkalabhihi, Stuvanti tvam stutibhiv pushkalabhihi. Now, as Arjuna is viewing this whole creation that's being shown to him by Krishna, when he first was talking with Krishna at the very beginning, and he was saying, please accept me as your student and let me go to the Himalayas. You know, I don't want to stay here. I don't want, whether I win or lose, or they win or lose, Duryodhana, you know, the sons of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, the Kauravas, or we, the Pandavas, whether we win or they win, I don't want either. I don't want to live in this world enjoying all of these things that are stained with their blood, you know. Let me leave. I really don't want anything to do with it. I have no idea whether we might win or they might win, because on both sides are very powerful people. So who is going to win? It's going to be a devastating slaughter, actually. And also, a lot of the seers, the maharshis and the siddhas, the yogis, they had seen bad omens around this whole war. They saw so much devastation. And so as they were seeing this devastation, they were also praying. So now Arjuna is seeing all this. Krishna, in giving him this vision, also gave him a vision of what's happening and what's going to happen with this war. And so he says, I see the Sura-sangaha, all these groups of devas. Devas are the gods. In the Mahabharata and Ramayana, Mahabharata, all the devas became manushas. They became human beings. They took form in droves. They took form in order to participate in this war. So all of the devas took birth. And so what he says is, I'm seeing all of these devatas who have taken birth here. I've seen them all enter Vishanti. They're entering into you. He says, they're all dying. They're all entering into you. They're all entering into the fire of your mouth. So I see all of these suras, all of these good people, and all of these devas who have taken birth. All of these, but also you can take just as manushas, either way, as people. All of these suras, all of these good people, all of them entering into you, he says. Then he says, kechit bhitaha. Some of them are frightened. Some are frightened. Some are pranjaliya. They're frightened and having their hands like this in prayer because they see, all of this. Swamiji talks about this saying, you can be very, very brave, but once you actually get on the battlefield, and once you're actually there to be slain, then you will start praying. He says, all of these great, great warriors, are now confronting death, really, and all of them are evoking you and praying to you. Grinanti means they're all saluting you. Swamiji will go and say, they're all saying all of the prayers that they've ever learned. They're all there with their hands. This Pranjali is like this. Pranjaliha is like this. So filled with foreboding and fear, all of them are praying as all of them are being... He sees them all going into Bhagawan. And then he says, he sees the Maharshis and the Siddhas. The Maharshis are the Rishis. And the Siddhas are the yogis. So he's seen all of these great people saying swasti iti tva. They're all saying swasti, swasti. Means let it be blessed. Let there be blessing for the earth. Swasti, swasti, swasti. Because they're filled with all nimittas, negative nimittas, negative omens. So So they're all praying. So seeing all of these and have saying swasti, then they are stuvanti tuam. They are praising you, and praising you with great prayers that are filled with great and powerful prayers. So all the maharshis and all of the siddhas, all of these great rishis, saying swasti swasti means May the earth be protected, may all beings be protected, swasti, swasti, trying to bring in that blessing. They are all reciting their most powerful prayers to you. They're praising you, they're singing praises to you with their most powerful prayers, swasti bihi, pushkala bihi. Swamiji says, with those prayers that are pushkala means they're very powerful and very strong. Swamiji says those stutis, those prayers that they're saying, are pushkala, means they're filled with meaning. They're evoking. They're the prayers that are filled with meaning. That's how he takes it. So now what he says, he lists, in this next verse, he lists all of the devas that actually have this Divya Chakshu. Krishna gave the Divya Chakshu, means this divine sight, to Arjuna and to Sanjaya. And so they're allowed to see this whole Ishwara Swarupa, Ishwara's form, because Krishna blessed them with that Divya, those divine eyes. But all of the devatas are watching because they don't need divine eyes. They're able to see this whole thing that Arjuna is seeing. So he says here, he goes, Rudra Ditya Vasavo Ye Chasadjaha. Rudra Ditya Vasavo Ye Chasadjaha. Vishweshwinau Marutas Choshmapascha. Vishweshwinau Marutas Choshmapascha. Gandharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sangaha. Gandharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sangaha. Vikshante Twam Vismatascha Sarve. Vikshante Twam Vismatascha Sarve. He says, the Rudras are a certain group of devatas. There's 11 of them. The Adityas, the sun gods. The Rudras are with Rudra, with Shiva. The Adityas are the different aspects of the sun. There's 12 Adityas. Then there's the Vasus. There's 8 Vasus. And there's a group of Sadhyas. These are just a list of different types of devatas. And then there's a number of Sadhyas. Then there's the Vishvedevas are another group of devas. Then the Ashwanau, there's 2 Ashwins. Then there's 7 Maruts. And then there's the Ushmapas. The Ushmapas are the Pitras, the mains, the fathers. Like when your parents die and your grandparents, they go to a Pitraloka. And then every year, Shraddha, different ceremonies are done to bless your ancestors. So the Ushmapas are all the ancestors, a type of ancestors, a type of Pitras. Then there's the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras. The Asuras are usually the demons, but then there are some Asuras that were born in an Asura family that are like Brahmins. And so, like Virochana, and there's a number of them that rose up within the Asuras, but they were very sattvic. You know, and so they are also watching. And then the Siddhas, all of the yogis. All of these groups, are all of these people, all of them from on high, from the different heaven worlds, are all witnessing. And Arjuna is seeing all of them. He says, I see all of these people, Vikshante Twam, looking at you, watching you. He says, looking at you, Vismataha. He says, all of them, all, Sarve means all of these people, all of these devas of all of these different groups, they're all looking at you, Vismataha, with their mouths open in total wonder. They're all watching all of this that's going on right now, you know, with their mouths open. Vismataha means, doesn't mean with your mouth open, just means in that state of awe, in the state of wonder. Okay. And he says, Rupam mahate bahuvaktranetram. Rupam mahate bahuvaktranetram. Mahabaho bahubahu rupadam. Mahabaho bahubahu rupadam. Bahudam bahudam shtrakaralam. Trishtva lokah pravyatitastataham. Trishtva lokah pravyatitastataham. He says, Rupam Mahat, this infinite form of yours, this great, Mahat means large, vast, this vast form of yours, Bahuvaktranetram, filled with many eyes and mouths. Vaktra means mouth, netram means eyes, this great form which has many bahu, many eyes and mouths. Hey Mahabaho, speaking to Krishna, hey Mahabaho, oh, you whose arms who have such great strength, hey Mahabaho, I see many bahu, many arms, many thighs, many feet. Bahu means many. Bahu means arms. Uru means thighs. Pada means feet. You who have so many eyes and so many mouths and so many arms, arms and thighs and feet. Bahu udaram, you have so many stomachs. You who have many stomachs. And bahu damshtra karalam, and so many mouths that are open with fangs coming out. Damshtra are like canines. You know those fangs that come out? Your mouth, you have these mouths which are open with fangs coming out. Swamiji said this, you know, like even if you have a cat or a lion, and I'm thinking my little Tibby, looks so sweet when her mouth is, you know, closed. Yeah. But if there's a mouse or if she's after something, then her mouth opens and all of her teeth with her fangs will come out. So you can imagine like a lion. You know, they're just so resting and so gentle with their, you know, kind of sleeping and so peaceful. And then something comes and their mouth opens wide and all of their teeth and fangs come out. And so here he's seeing in this swarupa, in this huge form, all open mouths with fangs. Damshtra means all of these canines, these fangs that are coming out. You can also take this karalam as the open mouth with the fangs protruding. Also, the mouth becoming vikrita. Vikrita means the mouths are becoming kind of ferocious and frightening, you know, and deformed, like you see like a gentle, beautiful face, and then the mouth opens and all of a sudden all of these fangs are coming out, and so then that face then becomes ferocious and scary and frightening. So now he's seeing that, and then he says the people, drishtwa lokaha, he says the people, all of the people, having seen this, they're pravyatitaha, they are very frightened, they're terrified. Tata aham, just as I am, he says, tata, similarly, me too. All of the people are frightened seeing this form of you, you know, especially with your mouths open and all of these vicious fangs coming out, you know. Everybody is shaking, they're all frightened. Tata aham, and I also am frightened. We're going to do one more verse. Nabaspresham deeptamaneka varnam. Nabaspresham deeptamaneka varnam. Vyatananam deeptavishalanetram. Vyatananam deeptavishalanetram. Drishtwahi tvam pravyatitantaratma. Drishtwahi tvam pravyatitantaratma. Dhritim navindami shaman cha Vishnu. Dhritim navindami shaman cha Vishnu. He says, hey Vishnu. Vishnu is the name for the Lord, the one who pervades everything, the one who pervades the entire creation is Vishnu. So Vishnu, hey Vishnu, he says, nabas prasham, your form is touching the heavens. Right? Means there's no, it goes all the way to the heavens. It is deeptam. It is brilliant and shining. It's on fire. And it's aneka varnam. It includes all forms. The word varna means anything that can be perceived. And we have two words, varna and rupa. The word varna usually means color, but all colors, and many colors. But varna also means rupa. So varna means both color and form. So you say aneka varnam. You know, your one mahat rupam, this huge form, is itself made of countless, many, many forms. Aneka varnam. Rupam also means form and color. Varnam means color and form. Okay? So aneka varnam, your many forms. Vyatananam, and your mouths. Your mouths are all open, vyata. You know, you have many forms and many mouths which are open. Deepta vishala netram, and so many eyes, which are Vishala. Vishala means that they are huge eyes, but also intense. So eyes that so many eyes that are huge, they're big, vast eyes, but very intense and dipta, so bright, so shining. Dipta means like burning, flaming. So drishtva hi tvam, having seen you like this, having seen you in this way, drishtva hi tvam, my mind is pravyatita antaratma. Antaratma means the mind. My mind is trembling. My mind is filled with terror. It's trembling. He says, "Dritin na vindami." I have no courage. I don't. Vindami means na vindami. I can't get. I can't find in myself any dritti, any forbearance, or any courage. I can't find it. Nor shamamcha. Nor is there any happiness. Because I'm scared to death. You know, the happiness or the joy or the great wonder of seeing your form, which is how it started, being so overwhelmed by this amazing form, Krishna, which you are. Now all of that's going away as I'm seeing all of the fearful side of you, that I'm so terrified that I can't, so frightened, so disturbed. Vamji uses the word, I'm so disturbed and so frightened, you know, that I can't find my courage, and I can't find any joy or happiness, the joy or happiness that I started out with. Now I just feel my mind is overwhelmed with terror, with fright.
Oh, don't stop that.
It's going to go like that for a little while. Yeah. Finally he's going to say, please, okay.
Please yeah, yeah.
Stop.
That's, we've been waiting.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Next time. So let's take a moment. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.